Good morning, members. The Constitutional Rights, Rule of Law, and Government Operations Subcommittee meeting will now come to order. Tamara, please call the roll.
Chair Roach?
Present.
Vice Chair Roth?
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Joseph?
Here.
Representatives Bankson?
Here.
Brackett?
Here.
Brannon?
Here.
Cross?
Here.
Edmonds? Shock? Lopez J?
Here.
Plakin?
Here.
Porras?
Here.
Trunell? Waldron?
Here.
Yarkowski? A quorum is present.
Members, good morning. We have a quorum. We're going to get rolling. Please ensure your cell phones are in silent mode. We have two bills to get through this morning. The first is going to be House Bill 151, sponsored by Representative Busada Cabrera. Representative Busada Cabrera, good morning. You are welcome to explain House Bill 151.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. This bill is for those who have given their lives to public service. It restores the cost of living adjustment for Florida retirement system retirees to 3%. In 2023, inflation reached a 39-year record, and the impact on family finances is dramatic. Cost of living adjustments are intended to help retirement benefit payments keep pace with rise in cost of goods and services over time. That is the bill.
Thank you. Having explained the bill, members, we are in questions. Members in questions. Rep. Trunell, was that a hand wave for a question? That was just a friendly wave. Questions? You do have a question. You are recognized.
Yes, good morning. How are you today? Question on the bills on how do we pay for this, and is there any insight on that?
You're recognized.
Well, we pay through it for it through our budget, and just as a reminder for everyone, FRS employees and retirees, the state portion of that system is only 15% of all FRS retirees employees. So each entity would pay for their portion. So the state would only be paying for our portion of state employees. Local governments that are part of FRS, school districts that are part of FRS, they would be paying for their portions.
Follow up. Members, we are in questions on House Bill 151. Members in questions. President Brannon?
Thank you.
You're recognized.
Did the sky fall prior to 2011 under the old system when they paid, or was it all right? Did it work?
You're recognized.
I can reassure you the sky did not fall up until 2011 when we had the cost of living adjustment. Since getting rid of the cost of living adjustment in 2011, we have been requiring state employees to give 3%. So when we got rid of it, we also at that time had required a 3% contribution since then.
Follow up. Members, further questions? Further questions? Okay, going once, going twice. We are no longer in questions. Do we have amendments on the bill? Seeing no amendments. Do we have public testimony? We do have some public testimony. We're going to get right into it. We have a number of speaker cards. First off, we have Mr. Todd Lewis waving in support. He's with the Pasco Firefighters Local 4420. We have Manny Reyes with the Miami Firefighters Local 1403 waving in support. We have Ms. Lisa Henning with the Florida State Fraternal Order of Police waving in support. Thank you. We have Katie Kelly with the Collier County Sheriff's Office waving in support. We have Drew Rayburn, professional firefighters and paramedics of Palm Beach County, waving in support. Mr. Jordan, I think this is Jordan Scott, representing himself, waving in support. Mr. Michael Kelly, Florida FOP, waving in support. Jim Sniffen, waving in support, represents Florida FOP. Okay, we also have a few people that want to speak on the bill in person. Let's get into those. Mr. Rocco Salvatore, Florida Professional Firefighter. Sir, you are recognized to approach the podium and express your thoughts on the bill.
Thank you.
Rocco Salvatore, I'm the vice president of the Florida Professional Firefighters. As some of you know, if you see me up here, I'm probably going to talk about something very technical, but maybe I feel a bit sentimental today, being the 80th birthday of our organization. I'm just going to say thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks to the committee. Thanks to the entire House for recognizing this is an important issue, not just to firefighters, but to all of our public servants. Thank you for the bills you passed last year to restore a large chunk of the FRS that was changed over a decade ago. Thank you for passing this initiative last year. It is it means a lot to your firefighters to know that you have their backs. I want to thank the SBA for knocking it out of the park on the investments of the retirement funds that are going to keep our members secure when they're too beat up from a tough job to go back to work. Thank you to the Division of Retirement and DMS for implementing last year's changes. They had about a month to plan it, and they performed flawlessly and provided excellent service to the members of the FRS. And thanks to Rep. Busada Cabrera, as long as I've known her, she's been a fantastic advocate, not just for firefighters, but for all public servants. Thank you.
Okay, you look great for 80. Thank you, sir. Chris Strandberg, Americans for Prosperity. Sir, you're welcome to recognize to approach the podium.
Good morning. Thank you, Chair Roach. Thank you, members of the committee. We appreciate the bill sponsor, Representative Busada Cabrera, for making time to meet with us and discuss some of the issues alongside some of the committee members. We at Americans for Prosperity Florida value the contributions that our public servants make to our great state and believe they should be appropriately compensated for the value that they create. That being the case, we are unfortunately opposed to House Bill 151 in its current form. HB 151 unwinds important reforms made to the Florida retirement system in 2011, which reduced costs and aimed to get the pension back on track to achieve full funding. For more than a decade, state lawmakers such as yourselves, public employees, and taxpayers have made sacrifices to ensure the long-term viability of the FRS. As noted in the staff analysis, the cost of restoring the COLA for fiscal year 23-24 would have been over $2.4 billion, which will continually increase with the recurring increases to the FRS liability every year. We believe there are other solutions to compensate our public servants that are more fiscally sound and do not bind future legislators to these costs. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate, AFP Florida values the contributions of our public servants, and we wholeheartedly believe in compensating them appropriately. We oppose HB 151 because we do not believe it provides a fiscally sound change to the FRS that ensures its long-term viability. There are other solutions available to demonstrate our state's commitment to its public servants. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we have Mr. Mick McHale with the Florida PBA waving in support. Okay, Dr. Rich Templin with the AFL-CIO of Florida. Sir, you're recognized to approach the podium.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the opportunity. I won't take a lot of time, but you all know me. I never get to do this, to be up here and support a bill. So, you know, it's kind of a banner day for me. You know, a lot of my friends in the room, we were here in 2011. We saw the changes that have been made, and we have been so appreciative over the last couple of years that some of those have been, you know, we've seen the error of our ways, and some of those have been addressed. This is a fight years in the making to restore this part of the Florida retirement system, and you really don't understand how important this is going to be, especially to the regular class employees, those individuals that for the last decade have had to make decisions about do they have the money to pay for the health insurance through the state when they didn't see this cost of living adjustment. So you are literally gonna be saving lives with this. And these folks have suffered through this for a long time. We're proud to represent them. We're really excited about the bill. I hope the fact that I'm up here doesn't somehow torpedo it. because again, we've been pushing this forever, and now I'm starting to think maybe if I just shut up, like, good stuff happens. I don't know. But thank you all very much, and this is a really big deal. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Yeah, Representative, you had me, but now I'm rethinking my position. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Sal Nuzzo. Sal, are you with us? Sal with JMI? Looks like he said he wishes to appear in person. He's not here. He's an opponent of the bill. Okay, Ms. Barbara Devane, Florida Alliance for Retired Americans. You're recognized, ma'am.
Thank you so much. This is a great day. I am Barbara Devane. Normally, I'm up here for a different organization, different issue. But today, I'm here as an 81-year-old, 81 and almost half. I shouldn't say half when I'm that old, but I'm very proud of it. I'm here as a 30-year member of the executive board of the Florida Alliance for Retired Americans. I'm now the volunteer legislative director, and I'm here very happy to support this great bill. Thank you so much, Representative Cabrera. And thank you, Representative Roach, for agendaing this great bill. I'm a retired teacher, but I'm not in the FRS system. After 15 years of teaching, I quit, moved out of state, took my little bit of money out of FRS, and never put it back in when I returned to Florida 30 years ago. But I'm here to support the bill and to tell you that the over 200,000 members of the Florida Alliance for Retired Americans will be working this bill very diligently to help get it passed and signed into law. Thank you so much this morning.
Okay, we have Mr. David Jacobson, Florida retiree. Sir, you are recognized. Good morning.
Good morning. And I, like Barbara Devane, are so grateful to the representative for bringing this bill forward. And I represent, as president of the Florida AFSCME, Florida AFSCME Retirees Chapter 79, are so grateful. And we will work tirelessly to get this bill passed throughout the state. How it affects us is that if you retired before July 1, 2011, you got your 3% FRS retirement cost of living adjustment annually every July 1. However, if you retired after July 1, your retirement 3% cost of living is not there. And if you began work as a state worker on July 1, 2011, and retired 30 years later in 2041, your first retirement check will be the same amount as your last one. And that's just not right. Costs go up, inflation. So we are so happy to have the 3% cost of living adjustment affect all FRS recipients. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, members, that is the last of our public comment. With that, we will go into debate. Members, we are in debate on House Bill 151. Representative Cross, you're recognized to kick us off.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Visado Cabrera, for bringing this great bill forward. I appreciate your work and your support for public workers. You know, Floridians are struggling with so many costs, gas, groceries, health insurance, housing insurance, And so this is one way that we can help them. Like many of you, I hear from people across my district that are struggling, and particularly our retirees are feeling the squeeze. So this is one way for the state of Florida to value the work of our public servants, whether they've been teachers or first responders. You know, it's hard to throw a pizza party for hundreds of thousands of people across Florida. So giving this cost of living adjustment, I think, is very appropriate, seeing the inflation that we're having right now. So thank you for this, and this will help out many, many Floridians.
Thank you, Representative Cross. We're going to go to Representative Edmonds in debate. Representative Edmonds, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Roach, and thank you so much, Representative Posada Cabrera, for this great bill. For me, this bill directly translates to a higher level of financial security for our residents of Florida. I believe this bill really impacts some of the people who are the hardest workers and most times overlooked, from teachers to our first responders to our local to state government employees. So I think you have really made being a public employee a little bit more attractive that we have these benefits now. My mom is a public employee, so it means a lot to see how we can do our jobs in this legislature, and I can directly impact her through a vote. So it means a lot to tell her, the residents of my district, that we are looking out for them. Especially as Representative Cross said, during this time of extreme inflation, this shows them that we truly appreciate them and that the work that they have done for years and some for decades does not go unnoticed. So thank you so much for carrying this bill. You're amazing at what you do, so thank you.
Members, we're in debate. Are there members in debate? Representative Brandon, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to do a little quick history lesson. In about 2000 or 2001, somewhere along in there, I'm thinking if I've got my dates right, Governor Jeb Bush came to McClendon. He had one of those, y'all remember, he used to do these capital for a day where he came out to the hometowns, and he came to our town, and we had a brand new health department that had been built. So we took a break at lunchtime, and he jumped in the vehicle with the sheriff and I, and we went across town. And while we were driving across town, he said, hey, I'm going to help you law enforcement officers. I'm going to restore the formula back to 3%. Y'all remember that? We had a haphazard thing, and he did. That was a Republican governor that did that for us. And that's not what we're talking about today, because that's a different formula. But he did that, and that was good for us. But fast forward to 2011, I remember wearing my crisp green deputy sheriff's uniform and sitting, I don't know if it was in this committee room or where we were, and sitting there and coming here to work against what was the changes that did in fact get enacted in 2011. Now, they told us in 2011 that issue would be revisited in 5 years. That would have been 2016. Folks, that didn't happen. And I was very fortunate. I was able to go and drop a few months after the legislation took effect in 2011. So it's none of your business, but I'll tell you, my COLA ticked down to 2.97 in those few months. Now, that's only 300s. That's not much. But it has always irked me when July comes around, because I was not halfway across the stream. I was this close to the bank. I was three-fourths of the way across the stream. And, you know, I took a job with the U.S. Marshal Service right out of college and was making pretty good money, but I was unhappy, and I came to the sheriff's office in 86 or whenever I came there. And you know what? I started out at $16,000 a year. I didn't make a lot of money, but I knew, even as a young person, I understood this retirement system because I checked into it. And a lot of people go to work, and it just, as a young person, it just kind of goes over your head. But the longer you work, the more important it gets. And all these things, insurance, all those benefits get more important. So to have that jerked out from under me at that late date really didn't make me very happy. So I was able to go and drop. Mine only ticked down 2.97. But there's folks that I work with that are still working, and theirs is ticking down every day. And then, of course, the people that get hired after 2011 don't get nothing. Now, fast forward to my first day in the Florida legislature, and I'm not going to tell you this person's name, but I want to tell you this story, too, because I think it is hard unless you, in the retirement system and the formula, and it's complicated if you've never been a state or county employee, if you come from the private sector, to even understand it, because it takes a little bit to understand how it works. But I was sitting in the cafe, and I mentioned this same idea that Chair Posada Cabrera has, this bill, and a legislator sat across the table from me, and he said, oh, you've been at the public trough your whole life. And you know what? I probably could have ended my career that day because I wanted to reach across the table and catch him by the neck, but I didn't. That's how upset I was about it. And I realized, though, the misunderstanding there at that point. So congratulations. Let's restore this and make it right. You know, I wanted to tell him, yeah, that public trough paid me $16,000 a year back in 1986 when I started. So, you know, a lot of, and we fixed a lot of things that need to be fixed back then in 2011. I mean, we had, and I'll talk about, you know, people that were sheriffs. We had sheriffs that were triple and quadruple dippers, and we fixed all that stuff because there were some abuses. But this affects the lowest paid employees. My grandmother worked at Northeast Florida State Hospital. McClinney started. They built that hospital in 1959. She was one of their first employees. She worked out there her whole life. Never made a lot of money, but she had a good retirement. Lived to 90 years old and had a good state retirement. My dad retired. He liked to talk. He came back and worked as a bailiff at the courthouse. He worked the metal detector at the front door. He liked to talk and visit with people. But, you know, I think about it, he probably might have needed to do that because his state retirement didn't pay him a lot of money either because he never made a lot of money as a time he spent in the system as a state trooper or whatever. So thank you. Let's correct this wrong. Let's make it right and do this. Not for the administrators that are making a lot of money, but for the custodian that's cleaning your office every night out there. Let's do it for those folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Brandon. Representative Bankson, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. We've lived through these things on the local level and went through this. You know, when I look back and consider this, when did we do this? We, because of what happened in 2007, 2008, we saw a real major hit. And so the leaders at that time took the initiative to tighten the belt, and that's not easy to do. But again, as Representative Brandon just mentioned, the promise was we're not just going to keep it there. We're going to revisit this. We need to bring it back once that revenue begins to come back. Now, fast forward to COVID, and again, serving 6 years at the local level, we faced that same issue, and it was just a place that everyone was suffering together. And so we had to make the tough decision to tighten the belt at that point. But we assured those who were, especially our first responders, who were out there on the lead in the midst of this, in the midst of that very issue with COVID, that we would bring this back, and we were able to do that. And so it restored their faith. There was great concern. And so for me, this is an issue of those. We can't balance our budget on the back of those who paved the way for us. And that's really where I feel, especially with the seniors. There are those who have paid off their home. They live their full life working hard, raised their families. And now because of the inflation, they're in danger of actually losing the home that's paid off simply to keep up. So to me, it's not some big increase. It's just simply saying we want to make sure as that cost of living goes up, we at least are doing what we've said to take care of you because you took care of us. For that reason, I'm up on this bill.
Okay, members, representative, ranking member, recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too want to thank you for the bill. You know, Floridians are facing a tough time right now with, I feel like our state maybe leads the nation in inflation. Property insurance rates are skyrocketing. Healthcare, housing, all that stuff is being harder to afford. So this cost of living increase goes a long way to thanking our, not even thanking, like they're serving, they're working for it. We're not giving them some extra stuff. This is stuff that they're working for. And to thank them for their service, you know, I think Rep. Cross mentioned we can't throw a pizza party for everything. And it reminds me of a video that I saw recently of somebody who had worked for a company for like 20 or 30 years, and they gave him a pizza. Like, pizza doesn't do it for all that we rely on people for to provide the services to the people of Florida, to the businesses of Florida, so that Florida can be successful. We want to make sure that everybody's healthy, prosperous, and safe. And I thank you for this bill to just help put a little money back in our public servants' pockets so they can continue to provide the services that we all rely on. So thank you.
Thank you, ranking member. Members in debate. See no further debate. I'm going to make a couple of comments. One is to thank the bill sponsor, Representative Posada Cabrera. Thank you for your tenacity, perseverance, and diligence in reminding me to get this bill on the agenda frequently. And I will say that I have met with a couple of members on this committee and others and some of the interest groups that are concerned about the long-term fiscal impact on our retirement system. And I would just remind everyone that that we are doing an actuarial study on those fiscal impacts, which should be ready for the next stop, which will be the full appropriations committee, and that will be the committee of competent jurisdiction, armed with that actuarial study to look at and analyze and debate the fiscal impacts. So thank you. You're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the members of this committee for your support today. You know, just to clear up a couple things, and just like the chair mentioned, that the study will be coming out, but based on the estimate from the study we had last year, because this cost of living adjustment is something that we did pass off of the floor last year, but unfortunately didn't make it across the final finish line. But the estimates from last year, just to clarify, I know it was mentioned today that it was a $2.4 billion fiscal. That is statewide for every entity. That is not the state's portion of the fiscal estimate from last year. The state's portion to restore the COLA would be about $332 million, not $2.4 billion. You know, and Representative Trunow, I know you were concerned about fiscal costs, but just so you know, in the county that you represent, in Lake County, the distribution of sales tax revenue from 2019 to 2022 for them increased by 24%. And then their ad valorem tax revenue for that same county, for your county, 2019 to 2022, that ad valorem tax revenue increased by 45%. So we're going to make sure that this bill is fiscally sound. We have one of the healthiest pension systems in the country. The FRS is a low-cost system compared to every other retirement system. The cost to administer the FRS in 2022 was $19 per active member and annuitant, compared to the peer average of $115 for other similar pension systems. You know, as mentioned today, I value these employees. I value you. And I value you that doesn't get the job done when someone's trying to pay their bills when they're retired. And I value you and I thank you. Those are nice, but it doesn't help someone pay the cost of rising inflation. It doesn't help someone pay the cost of their rising property insurance. It doesn't help someone pay the cost of their rising property tax. It doesn't help someone pay the rising costs at the grocery store, at the gas pump. We need to make sure that we are there for those that are there for us day in and day out, not just our first responders who are risking their lives for us, the people that keep this building running. I ask for your support today. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Busada Cabrera. Having closed on House Bill 151, members, we're now going to vote on House Bill 151. Tamara, please call the roll.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds? Shock?
Great bill, yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Flakin?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Trunow? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski? Chair Roach?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Okay, members, let the record reflect that House Bill 151 passes through this committee favorably with a vote of 15 yeas, 0 nays unanimously. Congratulations and thank you. Members, we're going to move on to House Bill, proposed committee substitute for House Bill 149 presented by Representative Alvarez. Representative Alvarez, good morning to you, sir. You're well recognized to explain proposed committee substitute for House Bill 149.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. It is my pleasure to be here. As we all know, it is a proposed committee substitute because this bill has been diligently worked on by the members of the staff who have added their input and definitely contributed to the betterment of this bill. So this is a bill that is going to raise the limit from $4 million to $7.5 million on continuing contracts. If anyone has any question about continuing contracts, in summary, quickly, a local government entity puts out requests for people to produce work for them based on their qualifications. So if they need some sort of work, architectural, for example, they ask for those individuals to put their names forward in a pile for work that's needed now or possibly in the future, and they have essentially a list that's there. As long as that list, as long as that project is under $7.5 million, then they don't have to go out and bid every single time. This does two things. One, it makes it efficient for local governments to operate. This is one something that they've been asking for. And number two, it actually increases the ability of smaller businesses to get into the pile of consideration so that they can get work that they don't normally have to bid on because it becomes very onerous on the bidding process. And Mr. Chairman, that is the bill.
Okay, having explained, proposed committee substitute, members were now in questions on the committee substitute. Members in questions. Vice Chair Roth, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Danny, for this good bill. I reached out to you. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, so I want to go ahead and ask you a question. It just seemed a little bit unusual that you're changing some provisions as it relates to technical and materials testing. According to the proposal, it will require that the Department of Transportation use select three qualified firms and that they use them on a rotating basis as long as there's no detrimental impact to the cost process. That just sounds a little bit unusual to me. Maybe the purpose is commonsensical, but it doesn't sound it. Can you please explain?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Representative Roth. Oh, sorry, Mr. Chairman. I got a little excited about that. Sorry about that. Thank you for the direct question. It is extremely direct and very purposeful. So in the name of equity, in making sure that, remember, part of continuing contracts is to allow the dearth of businesses, both small and upcoming, as well as the big ones, to have the opportunity to perform in there. We specifically targeted that, though not targeted is the wrong word, identified geotechnical as an area that needed to have a little bit more rotation and ability to bring those new businesses in. I will tell you this, Representative, we have been in contact with the Secretary of Transportation as well as those specific types of engineers, and we are working to make sure that this meets everyone's needs. So by the time we get to the floor, everyone will be satisfied.
Follow up, sir?
Yes, sir. So I apologize for this extra question, but I mean, when I read technical and materials testing, I think, of possibly expanding the use of certain aggregate materials that can be used for construction of roads and those type of issues. So I'm just trying to understand why you're kind of broadening the scope of the process to allow competition in that testing. I was hoping you could give me a little more particular information on that.
You recognize.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So geotechnical testing is a very specific definition, and let me read it to you. It involves testing soil and rock according to the Florida Department of Transportation specifications, and materials testing involves testing various highway materials or products and reporting results and recommendations. There are already engineering firms that exist in that space. There's no expansion of the definition. There's no expansion of the work scope. Literally, we're just creating an opportunity for everyone to operate in that space.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
So what problem are we solving?
Recognize.
Thank you, sir. I believe the problem that we're trying to solve is that not enough people, or rephrase that, only one to two of the individual companies that were supposed to be getting the work were actually getting the work to the dearth of others and their opportunities. So we're trying to make it more fair.
Okay. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Listening to the questions from Rep. Roth made me think of a few more. You increased, before, it's my understanding that they could select up to five companies to rotate between, but you've eliminated that cap. What's the rationale behind that?
So this is something that we went back and forth with staff. The original definition was equitable, and we decided on make it at least a rotation of three for the geotechnical. If three is not enough, we could make it five. That's not a number that we're emotionally tied to. So if it ends up being five, it could be 10, as long as the rotation is there.
You're recognized.
Thank you. No, I don't have a particular number I'm advocating for. I was just curious as to the rationale. And then my other question is, right now, are there like a certain number of companies that are qualified and competent and have generally engaged to provide these kinds of services in the state of Florida?
Recognize.
Ma'am, do you mean geotechnical?
Yes.
Recognized.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am. I believe there's over 150 different companies in this area. How they're laid out geographically, I'm not aware, but there's about 150 in the state that I am aware of. At least that's what I've understood.
Recognized.
Thank you. And I noticed that cost is not one of the things that tends to be considered with this selection process, and I was wondering why not.
Recognized.
That's a great question. So in the 1970s, in 1972, the federal government created a system that required qualifications, not priced, to be the reason that we're choosing certain types of companies when it comes to these type of professional services. In 1973, the state of Florida then adopted its own act to mirror the federal government, and we have done that ever since then. So originally, the cap was very low. We've raised this cap, and actually, your question jogs my mind to tell you one more thing. The original caps were low, and we've increased them as the cost of doing business goes up. We last increased this number in 2020 to $4 million, and my original proposal was going to be 10, and we settled around 7.5. But we are going to tag it to the consumer price index so I don't have to keep coming back to you and asking us to raise the limit. But the short answer is it was the federal standard that Florida adopted in 1973 through our own act, and it's been that way ever since.
Follow up, you're recognized.
Thank you. So what is the process that selection is made? You said there are at least 100 in the state right now, and your bill is proposing that we alternate between, let's say, 3 to 5. How I understand the qualifications is part, but like walk us through how that's actually done. Is it the agency that does
yes,
it?
Yes, great. I'm sorry.
Because it doesn't have to go through the procurement process now.
Right.
So, what are the criteria?
So, let's say we're building a road in Leon County. Leon County would then come in and find three people to do that kind of service or request people to or companies to provide this kind of service to the local government. And they don't even have to have a project that they need right now, but let's just say they have one road that they're ready to build or repave. They choose one company to do all the work or certain companies to do the kind of work they need, and then they have other companies that they can choose on reserve. As long as the project is less than $7.5 million, they don't have to go out and rebid every single time. So, for example, when I was on the Tampa Hillsborough Expressway Authority, the bidding process for some of our large projects was so onerous that we as the entity ourselves would provide funding for the individual companies to bid so that they would actually bid on the project, because some of those projects were $40,000 or $50,000 in months worth of employee time, only to find out that they couldn't get the job. So we would have to entice them. So in this case, and you're a smaller business with smaller projects, you don't have the capacity to do that. So when Leon County goes to expand another road, for example, or they're going to build something, as long as it's under the cap, right now the cap's 4, and we know roads are going through the roof as far as cost, labor, and materials, as long as it's under 7.5, they can go to their next person on the line if they so choose that way.
Last follow-up.
You recognize.
Thank you. So what's the mechanism? Maybe it's in the bill and I missed it. But how often do they have to rotate? So let's say they pick company A this time. Are you saying, based on your response now, that company A is still the main company and then the other ones are on reserve, or it's every certain period of time they have to, or whenever the next project comes up, they need to go to the next one?
You recognize and explain.
Thank you. It's a great question. So just let's be very, very specific. The CCNA, which is the Consultants Competitive Negotiations Act, which is the one that requires the qualifications.
Okay.
Each county decides who they want to use. We don't limit, or each government entity, we don't limit who they're allowed to choose. So there's 4 companies, there's 5 companies, that's what they want to do, and then they can choose from that list of people that have qualified as the projects come up. Technically, they could choose the same one over and over again. And so in the geotechnical space on the roads that we're allowing is, it feels like that may have happened in the past. So what we're doing is saying for that one, you have to rotate specifically. And if you don't rotate, you have to tell the state of Florida why you didn't rotate. But there is an escape valve as long as it is in the good, essentially, to make sure. So we give the escape valve there.
So the rotation is only for the geotechnical space?
The mandated rotation is there.
Got it. Yes, carry on. Thank you.
Members, we are in questions. Seeing no further questions, I see no amendments on the bill. We're going to move into public testimony. We have a few appearance cards here. First up is Ms. Carol Bowen with the Associated Builders and Contractors. Ms. Bowen, you are recognized to approach the podium. Good morning.
There we go. Carol Bowen with the Associated Builders and Contractors. I want to thank our bill sponsor and committee staff for working with us on this. We carried the reform years ago when we went from $2 million to $4 million. Just want to thank our sponsor. He's incredibly well-spoken on the subject. To address the ranking member's question, each public entity, when they put out the continuing contract option, sets the terms for how they will rotate through. And not every, that part of it is a competitive solicitation. So a school district will say, we want to put out a maintenance contract for the next 3 to 5 years or 3 years, or how they determine the time frame, and then they'll determine how many recipients will qualify. And then typically they'll say, Rep. Joseph, you are first on the list. We have this project available. Is your company currently available for that work? If not, we'll go to the next in the rotation. So there is supposed to be kind of that automatic rotation through. Because the geotechnical side is sort of new to it, the language is specific in saying there must be a rotation because they've not gone through this process before. So it's sort of establishing in statute what is the current practice with other public owners. And if there's any other questions, happy to answer them. But we'd appreciate your support, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, we have Mr. Edward Briggs representing the American Fire Sprinkler Association and the Florida Refrigeration and Air Conditioning Contractors Association, waving in support of the bill. We have looks like this is Amy or Amira Warren, Florida Association of Counties, waving in support. George Levescu, Florida Association of American Institute of Architects, waving in support of the bill. Levesque. We have Chris Dawson, Florida Roofers, waving in support of the bill. Members, that concludes public testimony. We are now in debate on proposed committee substitute 149. Members in debate. Representative Yarkowski, you are recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative, for this great bill. And I agree with the prior lady, well presented. I've spent the last 20 years in the contracting world. I have several contractor licenses. And ironically, I started in the geotechnical world, in the sinkhole stabilization world. And I can tell you that what you are doing here is, I would say, not only is it making government more efficient and getting a lot of processes out of the way, if you will. I had a chance to work on the PUR 1000 last year and some stuff in procurement contracts. And I would say that what you're doing here is not only going to make government more efficient and easier to operate, it's less of picking winners and losers, and I've had to battle that constantly with government in my career. But I would say that you are also going to absolutely encourage better in-class vendors to bid on these projects, because you've now expanded the scope of what could be work that could be done under that contract. And I just think that any time we can simplify this, empower the free market, and get government out of the way of businesses that want to provide these services, but have so many strings attached, I think that is awesome. I also, I think that you tying this to the price index, as everything I was gonna say, that's very smart, because then you don't have to continually come back and revisit this. So I think this is a great bill. As somebody that's worked in this space, had 2 employees and have had 150 employees, this is good stuff, and I think this is gonna make local governments happy, certainly gonna make the contracting world happy as well. So I think it's a great bill, and I'm up on it. Well done.
Thank you for that very eloquent debate. Members, we are in debate. Okay, seeing no further debate, Representative Alvarez, you're recognized to close on PCS for House Bill 149.
Mr. Chairman, I waive close.
Okay, having waived close, members, we're now gonna take a vote on proposed committee substitute for House Bill 149. Tamara, please call the roll.
Representatives Bankson?
Yes.
Brackett?
Yes.
Brannon?
Yes.
Cross?
Yes.
Edmonds? Schott?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Lakin?
Yes.
Porras?
Yes.
Roth?
Yes.
Trunell? Waldron?
Yes.
Yarkowski?
Yes.
Chair Roach?
Yes.
15 yeas, 0 nays.
Members, let the record reflect. We have 15 yeas, 0 nays. This bill passes out of this committee unanimously. Congratulations on proposed committee substitute for House Bill 149 passing out of the committee. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Jeff Alvarez.
Thank you, committee.
Members, this concludes our committee agenda for today. Once we adjourn, please exit promptly so the sergeant's staff can prepare the room for the next wave. Seeing no further business, Representative Cross moves that we rise. Without objection, this meeting is adjourned.